That's going to bring us back into the first chapter of Genesis. We're going to pick up on day 5. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds above the earth fly across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are starting at the beginning. It's a new narrative lectionary year. And so we're going to start back in the beginning of all these things. And perhaps the best way to do that is to open the book to the beginning and start there. It's hard to get earlier than creation. If you figure it out, let me know. There are a couple things about this passage in general that I want us to think about, and then we'll move on to the specifics of the passage for the day. First of all, this is one of two creation stories. There are two. The next one comes up starting in 2:4b and runs through all of chapter 2 and into chapter 3. And it has those Adam and Eve characters, and there's a talking serpent, and there's an angel with a flaming sword, and you've probably heard that story before. Actually, I hope you've heard this story before as well. This is a theological treatise on creation. It's not a biologist's homework. It's not a chemist's work. It's not a physicist's work. It's certainly not an astronomer's work. It is a theological, creative work designed to teach the people of faith about our creation, and more importantly, our Creator and our relationship with and to our Creator and our creation. It is not a step-by-step manual that you can go home and follow and create your own universe out of. If you speak and the lights turn on, we're not talking about Alexa or Siri, people. Then we have different conversations to have. We overlook that this book starts commanding us to know when we've finished our work and to rest. And the example is God doing just that, wrapping up a monstrously filled schedule of 6 days of making everything that is and then taking a nap. Imagine this as the Snickers commercial. You're not yourself when you're exhausted, Lord. Take a nap. But like many of you, I've read this story before. I've thought about the 7 days of creation. I've seen the theological fallout that develops around, well, do you believe in seven 24-hour periods of creation or not? Can you believe in evolution and still be a Christian? Can you, and ad nauseum, this passage has been talked about, it's been debated, it's been discussed, it has driven families and churches apart, it has led to denominational schism. And as much as we think we know what's going on, in my lifetime, there are denominations that have required their members in a new finding to believe in seven 24-hour periods of creation. So we may think the conversation is over in our part of the church, but that doesn't mean it's over everywhere in the church. There are really fun Hebrew words to say in this passage. Tohu va-bohu. Now you've all had your Hebrew lesson for the day. It sort of means formless and void, but this is the only time we have it written down anywhere in ancient Hebrew. So we really have no idea what it means. But it's right there in formless and void. And so clearly that's what it means. What caught me this time reading this passage and the rest of the passages for this fall was not the theological debate about whether God made it all out of nothing or not. That's a theological debate. It was not about whether it's seven 24-hour periods or if we can align that with the geologic states of the earth. What grabbed my attention in the form of something I both knew and had somehow managed to forget at the same time is that this entire creation is moved by one thing and one thing alone, and that is the spoken word of God out loud. If you look back at the text, you can look at the starts of several days, and they just start with, "And God said," because there's really not anything else that's needed or required for creation to happen, but for a creator to get serious about creating. I would love to tell you it works that way with writing sermons, but it does not. You can get serious all you want and the words do not show up. You need to be divine to be able to just speak and have things happen. We start off on day one, where God speaks and says, all of you could say it with me, you're all muted, "Let there be light." And there was light, and it was good. I think we have a challenge here in that we are not always willing to admit how powerful both the word and words are. The standard rhyme that was treated to me, you know, as a child in elementary school was, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, we have an example of the power of words in creation in American politics over the last several years. We have strong and many examples of the power of words. We live in a county of 68% or so of the population not being vaccinated, largely because of the power of words. But we don't always think words are that powerful. Words are all it takes for God to encourage the earth. Do you catch what happens when the green things start coming out? All God says is, hey, earth, bring forth green things of every kind. Fruit trees, fruits with the seed in them, other things. Just do it. There's no instructions. There's no directions. There's no seeding of the ground. There's no watering. There's no tilling. There's no waiting for the trees to grow up for decades and generations. It's just, hey, earth, do what you do. Bring forth green life. And it happens. And the Bible is frustratingly vague. And by that, I mean, it doesn't say anything about how it happens. And I'd love to know how it happens, but it's just not in there. And a day later, God is going to do the same thing to the sky and the waters and say, just be filled. Be filled with all sorts of living things, even sea monsters, birds of the air, things that creep, things that wriggle. Just be filled. You know, water, earth, sky, how to bring life about. So just do it. And a day after that, we'll get cattle of every type, and we'll get the creepy crawly things, and we have to assume that mosquitoes are included on day six as well. And that's where we question the wisdom of God sometimes. And then God will turn to who? We don't know. It says, let us do this thing. And God says out loud, let's give all of this to the humans. Let's give them dominion. Let's make them caretakers. Let's make them stewards over all of this, over all the plants, over all the animals, over all the things that fly, over all the things that swim. Let's let them be in charge. First thought, really bad idea, Lord. Really bad idea. Second thought is that I have this image in my head of God as Bob Ross saying, let's make a nice little tree here. Let's make a happy little tree here. Let's add another happy little tree here. Kind of talking to God's self through creation. And then God is going to turn to us and say, this is all yours. Care for it. Eat of it. Know how this works. And then God is going to close this out by looking at everything created and promoting it from just good to very good. It's not just humans that are very good. It's everything that God has made that is very good. And that's not always how we treat it. And that's not always how we treat ourselves and our neighbors, as though we are creations of God that are very good. We've probably used words or had words said to us that indicate we are not very good. And we carry that baggage around, even though there is a word that comes before all of it, before anything we do, before anything we do wrong, that says we are very good. And I'm just struck by how much Christians talk about being people of the book, and we take Bible study seriously, but we underestimate the power of God's word and the power of words in general to create, to transform, to declare good, to declare clean, as Jesus will do, to bring together, to cause life. We have examples of that all the time, if we choose to look at them that way. When God says to the earth, just bring forth green things, fruit trees, nut trees, all the stuff that needs to be on the earth. Just bring it forth. I mean, is that really any different than when a coach says, hey, get out there and win the game? Is it any different than when a preacher gives a benediction and says, go forth to love and serve the Lord your God? You've got what it takes inherent in who you are. Now just go do it. Do we take our charge and benediction seriously that way? Do we take the parting words of a teacher, of a parent, as transformative, as powerful, as determinative of how we will be? Imagine. Some of you go back in time, for some of you stay where you are, but can you imagine if we took the simple phrase that so many parents give when they see their child out the front door to go to school or onto the school bus or out of the car? Be safe. I love you. Have a good day. As though all of those were in our capabilities, as though we were made to be all of those things, to be safe, to be loved, and to have a good day. That is the power of words. And we get them here in Genesis 1 and 2, that the words are what makes it happen. So imagine with me for a moment, if you will, perhaps not a Bob Ross modeled creator, but a grumpy old man, get off my lawn creator. Day one. Why is it so dark in here? Clapper, turn on the lights. Okay, I suppose that'll do. Day two, why won't the water stay where I put it? Let's get some dry land in here. I suppose that'll do. Day three, earth, bring forth. No, not like that. That's not how I want it. Not over there. Days four, five, and six, waters, peoples, birds. Oh, who thought the platypus was a good idea? I suppose this'll have to do if this is the best we've got. Now, people, this is your problem now. It's kind of messed up. It's not really great, but just don't mess it up too badly. Do you really think we'd be reading that story 4,000 some odd years later? Would you want to read it 4,000 years later? The words we use in our daily lives are imbued with the power of the one who created us by speaking. We are spoken into being, and we need to remember that God's word does all that, and we need to remember that those are the words we hear and the words we read about ourselves. And they are transformative. They are creative. They are words of blessing and words of promise. And they are what we hold on to on a base level. And so the next 10 or so weeks, we're going to be looking a lot at the words that move the story of Scripture along, but there was no better place to start looking at that than in the beginning. And so hear the many words we say about God and we say about ourselves. We call ourselves children of the one true and living God. We call ourselves beloved children of God. We call ourselves sinners, and we call ourselves forgiven. We call ourselves known by God, even as we try to hide things about our lives from the world. We call ourselves Christ bearers, Christians, followers of the way, even as we are absolutely as frustrating as the first 12 disciples in not getting it. We call ourselves broken, and yet we worship the great physician. The Son of God was a carpenter. They build things, they put things back together, they repair things that are busted, rather than throwing them away. The words we say, the words we use, the names we use for God, the names God uses for us, the names we use for one another, all of them have power. They have power to create, to transform, to redeem. So when you go forth, read the word differently. Pay attention to what words God uses. And perhaps most importantly, as beloved children of God, made in the image of God, choose the words we use carefully. Because our words hold the power of our Creator in them as we go forth and speak. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.